This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final out of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio on an FEF Friday. Got one clip left from our Comedian of the Week, John Wessling.
F, yeah.
Got Sarah, it's funny, by the way. F for funny in that case, not the F. FEF for his former partner. Sarah Barshop, 3:30. So she'll talk Texans with us. So we'll get some of the inside scoop and ask a couple of key questions leading into the big game with the Titans. We were talking in the break. It's interesting that I just update news of the day in the NFL and said that Terrell Suggs was cut by and released by the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
And opposite of Janoris Jenkins, here's a guy that's proven himself. He's a winner. He's a veteran. He's a locker room guy. I don't think he's completely lost it. I think he still has plenty left in the tank, even at his
age.
Seven
sacks this year? I mean, he's 23 tackles, seven sacks, tied for fourth in forced fumbles.
So he could be a factor out there. And so you start saying, okay, well, as Barry pointed out, look, waiver claims now are based on record. So the first thing that Barry said was, I could see him going back to the Ravens. Well, if you go back to the Ravens, that means every other team in the league has to pass on him because they have the best record.
Correct.
But if you just look based on need, boy, the New Orleans Saints just lost Davenport. They lost two defensive linemen. You don't think Suggs would be a beautiful add there? You don't think that with the Cowboys, you mentioned the Cowboys, when you talk about Van Der Esch and the fact that he's been out and all the different things they've been experimenting with defensive line, I could see them possibly looking at him.
Well, the Saints are, at 10-3, they're going to be low on the waiver priority. So you're talking about, you have to look at teams that need some help defensively.
But are also willing to make the financial commitment for the rest of the year. If you're not going to the playoffs, why would you take on that?
Well, that's why I say a team like the Cowboys could, hey, listen, they're in a dogfight in that sorry-ass division, but they're still having a dogfight. And that might be something that Jerry says, hey, if we need help defensively, if we need more pass rush, he's got seven sacks, which, by the way, I realize that people look at that and go, oh, seven sacks. Well, who cares? Where that would put him on the Texans? Just take a guess.
Third.
I would put him first.
First?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
How the mighty have fallen.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing.
The team leader is Whitney Merciless, was 5.5. J.J. Watt is second on the team in sacks with 4. And then behind him, Brendan Scarlett and Jacob Martin have 3.5.
Jacob Martin's only been, in the last 2-3 weeks?
Yeah. You add Terrell Suggs, you immediately, if you added just season totals, he's your sack leader for NFL sacks.
It just hit me, too. You know where Jenkins is going to end up?
Where?
Philadelphia.
I could see that.
In the division, but they know that they're in a dogfight with the Cowboys. They know their biggest weakness is secondary.
And it's the division.
And
so he
knows
to go,
the Cowboys. Yeah. I could see Janoris Jenkins signing with Philadelphia.
Yeah, that could be that.
So those are two key free agents that could actually sway things in the playoffs in a lot of ways.
When it comes to these guys getting claimed, like you said, it's need, but after the third week, the waiver priority changes to team with the worst record, and it remains that way. So it's not like in fantasy football when you guys go out and claim somebody, then you get moved to the bottom of the waiver wire.
Right, you stay right where
you could
are.
Literally, I mean, if the Eagles wanted to, they could literally claim Suggs. They could literally claim Jenkins. Like, it's based on record. So
now here's the other thing.
Uh-huh.
How many teams, because of that very factor you just spoke about, how many teams play what the Colts played with the Patriots and go, if I'm the Cowboys, now I might claim Jenkins because of the fact that I know the Eagles want Jenkins.
Yep.
So how many different teams are going to use it as a defense mode and go, nope, I'm in, like Packers. Packers in a divisional battle with the Vikings in a matchup coming up. You don't think that they're watching the waiver wire going, well, if the Vikings, there's a chance that if we don't, they do. But they're actually right now, Packers are second best record in the NFC.
Yeah.
So that means the Vikings would have priority. So they couldn't block. But I bet you there are teams that are blocking. That's wonder if general managers call general managers and go, hey, if you claim him for us, we'll take care of you down the road.
I don't think that would be the case, but I wouldn't be
surprised. Guys for having conversations.
I certainly wouldn't be surprised. And I'm looking at, contracts. So Janoris Jenkins right now, his 2019 contract, he's got a a $10 million base salary, $2 million signing bonus. Now, I don't know how much of that.
Cake.
Yeah. Next year, he was just on the hook. In 2020, the Giants were on the hook for a $2 million signing bonus. And Suggs, let's see what SpotTrack has his contract.
Oh, he got paid to go to Arizona.
$3 million base salary, $2 million signing bonus. And he's on the hook next year for a $2 million signing bonus.
And that's it?
That's it.
Boy, if you're the Texans, especially because you got decisions to make with your front seven.
And I know he's 37, but damn, for the rest of the
he's
year,
still doing it.
Get you some pass rush help. Because they desperately need pass rush help, especially when you consider, you know, we thought the secondary had turned a corner and was looking good. Then Denver happened. And now you're like, ugh. And one can help the other, right? If you've got a good secondary, your pass rush. And like you said, Martin, his sack total numbers went up in the last couple of weeks. Well, think about that. That coincides with the secondary playing better, too. So if you could get better pass rush, that might alleviate some of the pressure on the secondary and vice versa. If the secondary rebounds and plays better and you've added Terrell Suggs, it gives you another weapon. You know, it's a money thing too, though. Do you have the money in the salary cap to do it? And let me see where the Texans
Well, because
are
that's the thing.
At.
When you think about it, and of course we said this is the year Bill O'Brien seems to be going for it. You know they're going to be cap strapped and also draft pick strapped going forward anyway. But if you could pick up one or two veterans like those two guys, and you've already been open to the idea and have signed guys on the open market that have played with other teams, and you realize down the stretch how important it is that you get all the help you can get to win the division, avoid the wild card, try and get the best position possible going forward, I hope they do look at both guys.
Yeah. Apparently, according to this, Texans have $21 million in cap space.
For the rest of this year?
Yeah.
Go get
2019.
Go get Suggs for sure. And again, you and I also said, look, if this was a couple weeks ago, Jenkins probably would be higher on their list.
Yeah.
But because of the fact that they traded for Conley and they grabbed Hargraves, when he was free, didn't cost them anything, they're probably done with that. They're just going to roll with the secondary head because they got Roby back.
Problem is, Cowboys ahead of you have the cap space. The Eagles have the cap space. So there are teams ahead of you that might need that help.
Who breaks the tie with the Cowboys and Eagles? Because Jenkins is a guy dead serious. I think the Eagles will sign.
I could see them doing it for sure. I don't know. I would have to go back and look at the
because they're
at
tied
the rules.
Right now, right?
Yeah. They have the same record. I don't know how the waiver priority works. I imagine that they use just standings tiebreakers.
Tiebreakers, right?
So I think right now the Cowboys have the tiebreaker.
So that would mean the Eagles have priority because the Cowboys could use some secondary help too. So,
yeah.
And again, a guy that knows the division with at least one division game left, that's a big deal.
Yeah, so the Cowboys, they have the same record at 6-7, but the Cowboys have a better division record. Cowboys are 4-0 in the division, which means the Eagles are 2-1. So they lose the tiebreak, which means they would get the waiver priority, I believe, if that's how they're doing it.
Okay.
Based on tiebreak.
So that's something to keep an eye on, as I don't know if other teams are going to follow suit and start getting rid of some of their veterans, because just like when we talk about the buyout market in the NBA, this is a time where the trade deadline's passed, and if you could get a guy, a veteran guy, experienced guy, a winner like Suggs, or a guy that was a frontline starting corner like Jenkins, and you know, hey, look, I'm not signing him for the long term because I know he could be a tough guy in the locker room, but I know short term I've got glaring needs in the secondary and he can help. This is the time where general managers earn their money, or head coaches, or the guy that has both positions and the same type of money. Okay. Bill O'Brien.
Wouldn't it be funny if both the Cowboys and the Eagles make the move? Cowboys get Suggs and the Eagles get Jenkins.
Yeah, one way or another.
And both address a need.
Because I think the Cowboys, because their secondary has been questioned to where I think both teams should be looking at Jenkins.
Yeah. Cowboys
you brought
right
Michael
now.
Bennett in. Patriots had problems with Michael Bennett and wanted to get rid of him, dumped him for a easy mid-round draft pick, late-round draft pick. So, and you know, Jerry's not afraid to bring anybody in.
Well, that's true.
I could see Jerry Jones wanting Jenkins. So that's something to keep an eye on because, you know, there's a lot of games that now, that's what's interesting about the rest of this NFL schedule. You know, the division's up for grabs between the Titans and the Texans. You know, the division's up for grab between the Eagles and the Cowboys. You know that wild card spots are a big, big deal this week with Cowboys playing Rams. Rams win, they got a legitimate chance to get a wild card.
Crazy.
So there's a lot of big games going on the stretch. NFL's got to love that the fact that they have very meaningful games with 3 weeks to go in the season.
No doubt.
Fantasy football people love it too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you're looking at it, you got, especially in the AFC, I mean, there's some, you know, Bills, Steelers, Titans.
Yep.
You're not guaranteed, but you may have, you may have a wild card team in like a team like the Bills who has a better record at the end of the season than a division winner. And yep. just like it'll happen in the NFC yep. with the Seahawks and the Niners, one of those teams is getting the wild card.
And the other thing is home field advantage is so important this year, too, because teams don't want to go to Green Bay. Mm-mm. People don't want to go to Buffalo. Mm-mm. So the outdoor.
People don't want to go to Seattle either.
That's another good one. Right. So and that's another big dog fight because yeah. you got Seattle and the Niners trying to fight it out there, too. So you're gonna lots have a of Seattle, important games.
Imagine this. You've got a Seattle team at 10-3 who is a wild card, and the Cowboys right now sit at 6-7 as a division leader.
They would host the Seahawks if the playoffs started.
Yeah.
How crazy is that?
Yeah.
And, you know, when you look at all of that and you start thinking about the fact that, hey, this is why the NFL was so adamant about, you know, their schedule makers and the way they do things and divisional matchups. But this is, man, this is a great time to be watching everything, because now the other thing to factor in is your team that's in the middle of one of those situations may have an easy matchup. Don't forget the fact the Eagles lost to the Dolphins. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Just when you think you got it all figured out, don't forget the fact the Texans lost to the Broncos. Stranger things have happened in some of the matchups, too. So those are things to keep an eye on when you're watching the schedule and watching how all these different things are going to play out. So that's going to be – it's going to be fun this weekend.
Hey, have you ever owned a penis fish?
I'm going to go no.
You haven't owned one?
Nope.
Well, now's your chance.
Negative.
It's your lucky day because they're washing ashore. I'll fill you in.
That's a legitimate thing.
I'll fill you in. Yeah. The penis fish is washing ashore in California. Let's discuss.
Can't wait. Rest of the usual suspects rolls on in just mere minutes right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
My mom plays craps and like she just dominates. Like she knows how to work it just right. She does the math the whole time. I played craps once. I don't even know why I lost. And that bothers me. That's a very important part of gambling, I think, is understanding why you lost. Right? Because I was just befuddled. I'm just like, yeah. No? Oh, did I win? No? No? Okay. Is it over? Y'all are starting? Okay. I just leave? Okay, thank you. That was... I don't get a receipt? What the hell? That was $200.
Back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Nick.
You know he don't like that.
Barry. Joel, final hour of the show. John Westling right there, our final clip of the day from our comedian of the week. If you missed any of it, as I always tell you to do, ESPN975.com. Click on the show tab for The Usual Suspects at the top of the page. The tab comes down. You catch up on the hours you missed. 1:15, 2:15, 3:15 is where we have our comedian of the week clips on Fridays. So you can catch up on that. And then while you're there on the front page, follow the directions, download the app, take us anywhere, everywhere. Even when you're traveling, you can still listen to the show.
Do it.
Bing.
Word. Ding.
Yeah, I did the ding that Nick normally does, and then you did the do it.
All right, let's talk fish.
Yeah, what do you... It's got to be the 3 o'clock hour. It's got to be.
It's time to talk penis. Fish, specifically. This is a New York Post article. So don't sit here and think I'm being childish. Don't sit here and pretend like I'm being sexual. This was a legitimate news story in the New York Post by Nadine Danino that came out yesterday at 5:24. It's a bird, it's a plane, it's a penis fish. That's how it starts. See? I'm not making this up. There are, this is what it says. This is a little disturbing. There are thousands of, quote, pulsing penis fish that have washed ashore in California. They think that a storm caused it. The real name of the fish, it doesn't get any better. Its common name is the fat, they call it a fat innkeeper worm. Aretius Quapo is the scientific name.
Okie dokie.
Aretius Quapo. And it's washing up on Drake's Beach. And there was a picture of one. Tell me that doesn't look like a...
Shocking, a penis fish was on Drake's Beach.
Looks, yeah, I'm seeing.
Good Lord.
Looks like, yeah, you impressed, huh?
No, just and like that's it been really swimming. Legitimately looks like what they're calling it.
And that one's been swimming.
It looks that's, like Hitler's penis because they only have one of the two on the bottom, but...
I wish that was my results after I'd been swimming. They're good for them.
Hitler only had one ball, by the way.
Thank you.
Well, the listeners might not be up to speed on that. But that's a very...
So there's
suggestive-looking fish.
There are theories as to why this is happening. Some one theory was that a bratwurst freighter got sunk because it kind of does look like a bratwurst or a sausage.
Sausage casing look is there.
It definitely is.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you retweet that from your Twitter?
What?
The picture of that.
It's. I will.
Okay.
I'll tweet it. It's also called a spoonworm. And there has been sightings in California, Princeton Harbor, Bodega Bay. The creature dates back 300 million years and can also be eaten.
Ooh.
So there you go.
That's all I needed to know.
That's all you needed to know?
Yeah, now I'm going to have it.
I was going to say, Nick just said that's what's for dinner. You going to Pete's Fine Meats to get that?
They ate one.
Hey, put some respect on Pete.
I know you love Pete's Fine Meats. So you go get yourself a penis fish and a couple of potatoes, you get yourself a dinner.
This is great. So at the end of the article, it says, the creature dates back 300 million years and can also be eaten. An anonymous colleague at the Post who has dined on a stir-fried fat innkeeper worm in Shanghai, China, described the taste as like a Livestrong band mated with a clam. Remember those?
Yeah.
Livestrong bands? Apparently it's very rubbery, and I've never eaten a clam or a oyster, so I wouldn't know either of those. Why are you? Oh, I just realized what I said out loud.
You sure did.
Never eaten a clam?
I wouldn't. I'm not going to do you like that
course,
this time.
Of course, Joel.
It's Friday.
Wait a minute. You just brought this topic up, and the way you're right, and it's me. You're right.
This is a legitimate news story about the penis fish, and you're over here because all I said was I'd never eaten a clam. There you go. Off on your tangent.
You said more than that. That's fine. That was enough. Yeah, that was enough. And then
I've eaten a roast beef sandwich. What is. All right. That was maybe a little too much.
You like snapper? Just asked a question. I don't know if you ate all seafood or what. Yeah,
no, I don't mind snapper.
How you feel about blowfish?
Now you're making it weird.
I'm not. I'm just asking questions.
Now you're making it weird. But these things are washing up ashore, and I will tweet it out. I'll tweet out the picture.
Yes, you will.
I'm gonna.
The responses should be priceless.
I mean, people are taking pictures with them. Would you take a? Somebody wanted to know. Would we take a picture?
No.
With the penis fish?
No. Now, if Nick...
Take a picture and post it. I'll take a picture and just send it to everybody just to be stupid. I don't care.
No, like
you don't think that would get posted?
I mean, it depends. Like, if I sent it to Barry, then it's definitely being published. But if I sent it to a real friend, they wouldn't do that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you knew I
would. Barry would just throw your ass under the bus.
Yeah, you know I wouldn't
tweet. Nick likes penis. Tweet. That's what he would have done.
I'll do that without you sending me the picture.
So why would I send you the pic then?
Because there are things you've sent me that I have not tweeted out.
I disagree. What?
I mean, I can go back and look.
You want me to trust you, the guy who tweeted at Mia Khalifa from my Twitter account? That's you. That's who you want me to trust.
I mean, he's not just throwing innuendo out there. He's backing it up. He's giving you examples.
You know what?
I'm just saying.
I don't need you involved in this right now.
Welcome to
get likes on the Mia Khalifa tweet.
Are you?
I swear, it's been like 2 years.
That's outstanding. You're welcome.
Welcome to an average day in my world when Nick's normally taking your side. I'm helping Nick out here. He's right.
Let me go through my messages from Nick and just see what's in here that I shouldn't.
Oh, God. How much time you got?
Oh, you mean like that? You mean like that? Do you remember that?
That's cool. I think I've tweeted that out before. I might have.
That you drew a penis and texted it to me?
With the iPhone pad draw thing? Yeah. I tweeted that.
See that?
Go ahead, tweet that. I've tweeted that.
The parental pickup line. Hopefully everybody's got their holiday performances for their kids and they're not in the car right now to listen to how many times you've dropped and there's the P-bomb.
There's a picture of your bush.
No, there is not.
Yeah.
Yeah, the shrub in your yard, Shakespeare.
See? You freaked out for a minute.
Yeah,
I got that one.
But I love
that's my favorite part is that Nick just realized, you know what? I do drink. And it's possible.
Yeah, I was like, what cheap whiskey did I drink to make me do that?
It's very possible that I sent him a picture. Wow. Oh, no.
There was a time there when you were in the middle of your drunken stupors reaching out to Barry pretty frequently.
I would mass text you guys dumb crap. I forgot what I would text, but.
Yeah, you would.
It'd be like dumb, mean, aggressive, vulgar stuff.
Well, that too. Yeah, name calling with words that we covered earlier in the show.
I'm a new man. I go to bed by 9 o'clock every night now.
Okay.
Because you're passed out by 8:30.
I don't get it. The past 2 weeks, I've just been sleeping so early. Yeah, like an old man.
You got kids?
Outside that rave, man, I've been going to sleep like every day really early.
It's still weird when you say you went to a rave.
Yeah, I know.
Two of them in 3 weeks, I think.
That's a weird. Oh, and then you sent me this.
But he was just doing favors
on how to fill in your beard. You sent me that.
Oh, yeah, I'm really going to buy that, by the way.
Oh, yeah? You're going to do it?
I'm going to try it.
You rubbing it on your dome? Or
no, it's for your beard. He said specifically your beard.
Yeah, I said beard.
Well, you guys were getting pretty pornographic. You know?
No, we weren't.
Oh, we're just having an adult conversation.
Oh, is that what
you're
doing?
You're the one that made it childish.
Okay. Well, look at the time. Sarah Barshop coming up at 3:30. She's going to talk Texans.
Joel's going to have seafood this weekend.
You going to ask any questions of Sarah Barshop about our previous conversation?
By the way, you want to take a gander at how long the average penis fish is? Take a guess. You're not going to guess?
Nick, go ahead.
12 inches.
10.
Pretty good guess.
Hashtag blessed.
Pretty good guess.
Yeah.
Experience has its advantages.
Now, see, that was uncalled for.
Of course it was. But, of course, because he's going to break.
He tries it. He goes, and then he goes right out.
Takes a jab and goes to break.
Yeah. And since he controls the in and out. We need to start rotating in and out.
Yeah, because you do that smoother than sandpaper. You want to take us to break? Go right ahead.
Kiss my ass.
Go ahead.
No.
Take it.
Nope.
90 in the nut, the book, and 30 on the clock. We'll be back with more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final half hour of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Always appreciate you suspects all week long and week in, week out. Being loyal listeners of the show, and it's always apropos on a Friday to mention something like that because you guys have been strong again this week. And the participation level has also been good. Speaking of participation level being good, Sarah Barshop's always great about blocking out some time to talk to us about the Texans every Friday at 3:30. So without further ado, Sarah joins us. She is the ESPN beat writer for the Houston Texans. So you need to follow her, read her columns on ESPN.com, but also follow her on Twitter. Great follow in terms of Texans information. Sarah, appreciate you joining us as always. Big one this week, obviously for several reasons, but the main thing right now everybody wants to know is what's the injury report look like, because we're waiting on things like Will Fuller. Then we see Derrick Henry on the Titans side possibly missing practice again. What's the latest you got on both sides?
You know, I think Will Fuller is one you really have to look at. We saw how different this offense looked without him on Sunday. Now, would he have made the difference in them winning the game against Denver? I don't know that, but I get the sense just from talking to him this week that he will play. I haven't seen the Titans injury report, but if Derrick Henry is out, that would mean good things for the Texans, as I'm sure you guys know.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's still listed as questionable. They did rule Adoree Jackson out, so there is that.
Yeah, with Henry, I mean, I saw he has four games with 100 or more rushing yards.
Yeah.
I think I wrote for my prediction this week that we're going to see how much that this run defense misses J.J. Watt in this game, I think. And I think he really could do some damage to this defense that hasn't been great at stopping the run, especially in crucial times. But it hasn't been so awful since that Baltimore game. And I think this could be another one where that could be the difference in the game.
Well, Sarah, you mentioned J.J. Watt and that front seven, and specifically that defensive line. I don't know if you saw this, but earlier Terrell Suggs has been released by the Cardinals, as well as Janoris Jenkins by the Giants. Any chance that the Texans hope that either of these guys falls to them in the waiver priority and take a run at them?
I mean, they need pass rushing help, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You know, they're always looking. But I think they've made a lot of changes to their roster this year. I'm not saying they won't take a look at either guy, but I just think that it would surprise me if either of those guys ended the Texans.
All right, so we know what happened last week, but the question then becomes why. Bill O'Brien trying to take the blame for it and having the guys prepared. And some people saying because it was a trap game, but, you know, in between this game this week and the big win against the Patriots, you're with this team every day. What do you tag with the main reason why they lost a game they absolutely should have won?
I'll start with this about Bill taking the blame. I mean, if you watched a press conference at all since he's been the head coach, he does it after every big loss. I mean, he feels very strongly that he shouldn't be pointing fingers at guys. He thinks that as head coach, he should take the blame. And I'm sure there is plenty of blame to go around. I'm not saying that they would have won the game if this hadn't happened, but when Judy fumbled and Kareem ran that touchdown back and it was 14-0, I just think they've already gotten off to a slow start all season. And two touchdowns doesn't sound like a lot when you have Deshaun Watson, but it just kept the train rolling, right? Then big score again, and all of a sudden, right before halftime, you're having to go, you decide to go for fourth down, and they score again before the half. You fail to convert on your side of the field. So I think the QD fumble and going down 14-0, they had a hard time running the ball after that. You know, it was early, it was slow sample size, but early in the game, had ran pretty well. So I just think that totally changed the way they wanted to play the game. And then again, in a halftime, as Bill said after the game, it was just too much of a lead from the comebackers. You know, you look at the score, it didn't look as bad as the game was. I mean, it was out of hand from the very beginning. So Deshaun Watson can keep you in almost any game, but I think at halftime, when you're down that big, and then when you're down 38-3, I just think even for him, that was too much for him to overcome.
Now, you mentioned it, and it has been an issue all year for this team, but you mentioned it briefly in your explanation to Joel's question. What is the talk about them in this first quarter? Why is this team unable to put points on the board in their first drive and in the first quarter in general? What is going on, and how are they planning on fixing it?
You know, it's funny. We asked Bill O'Brien that this week, and he said, if I knew, we wouldn't be standing up here having that conversation. He said, we always talk about starting fast. The talk's cheap. I don't know, because they've run the ball well this year, so it seems like that wouldn't be an issue for them if you were just looking at they finally have a running game. You think they'd be able to find a rhythm early on. But I think they have 25 points in the first quarter this year, which is second fewest to only the Redskins. So they need to fix that because, you know, they have the talent. They can overcome slow starts most of the time. But in a playoff game, you can't do that. You can't go down 14-0 early and expect to be able to come back like that against a really good team in the playoffs.
Now, you look at this Tennessee team, and we all know that they have never, in recent years with Mariota, they haven't really been known as a passing team. They don't put the fear of God in you and your secondary. But now you look at it, you kind of pick your poison and go, what's more important, as we mentioned, stopping the run? Because as you mentioned, Barry's mentioned, we talked about Henry's had several big games in a row. But Ryan Tannehill has changed the entire mentality and outlook of this Tennessee franchise, so much so he's probably going to get a contract to stay there because he has been spectacular. And I know people are going to laugh at me and go, yeah, Ryan Tannehill, spectacular as a quarterback. But if you look at his numbers and you look at the way he's played, aside from maybe Russell Wilson and definitely Lamar Jackson, Ryan Tannehill has been one of the top quarterbacks in this league for the last 6 weeks or so, and that's got to really have some concern for the Texans.
I mean, yeah, anyone who's watched this defense, right? I mean, with Drew, a lot to do what they did to the Texans defense last week. If you look at what Tannehill has done, like you said, over the last 6 weeks, he's been so impressive. I mean, imagine how good this team would be, if the how good the Titans would be and what their record would be if they had started him all year. I think that's something. Maybe I still think the Texans will win this division, but that's something I think we're really going to see where this defense stands, because the secondary is healthy, as healthy as you are in week 15 of the season. They've gotten Roby back, Conley back, those guys back, and they have their choice of who they want to play. But at the end of the day, if what they showed against the Broncos, with if I was a Texas fan, I would be worried about what they're going to do against the Titans on Sunday.
Sarah, one of the things that I saw, and I don't know if you've even addressed this or if this has come up, but one of the things that we saw in regards to the Texans and injuries and so forth was the injured reserve list, and how they actually saved a spot for J.J. Watt because there's a chance that he comes back this year. Is that just rumor, or is there something to that report?
So I've been told that he's progressed very quickly through his rehab. Now, that doesn't mean that he'll be back. If he does come back, there's a long checklist of things he's going to have to do. Whether that could happen before the regular season, even if he is best case scenario in his rehab, I don't know. And they're certainly not in the playoffs yet. But I will say about them saving a spot, it's not necessarily that, because they haven't really had guys on IR that you need to bring back. I mean, they brought Jordan Thomas back, but Holly Waring, I don't think they were ever going to bring him back this season. They have enough tight ends. I think there's one other person on IR that is eligible to come back. So I don't know about them saving a spot for him. I think if they had someone else they felt they wanted to use the spot on, they would have done that. But certainly, especially if the team makes the playoffs, there's a chance J.J. Watt's back because of the way that his rehab has gone.
So with all that being said, and the fact that we've touched on in several different ways the big game this week, and we know it's huge, it's on the road. To me, that's almost an advantage because they've seemingly played better on the road than they have at home this year. But you alluded to the fact that you've already broken it down a little bit. But break it down for the listeners of how you see this one going on Sunday.
So I actually saw the stat this week that between these two teams, the last six games have been won by the home team. I think that's going to continue. I think they'll split, and I still think the Texans win the playoffs, win the division and make the playoffs. But I just think the Texans, they played up and down, and so maybe that this is a game that I think Deshaun will play well, but I just think that both of these teams, I just think the Titans are playing a lot better, and I think that this Texans defense is not as good as the team that has played on the road earlier in this year, if you know what I mean. So I think the Titans will win this game, and the Texans will have to have a hard time. We'll have to at least win the last game if they want to make the playoffs.
Boy, I would not want to be in that interview room with Bill O'Brien after the Texans lose this week.
We're relying on you, though, Sarah. We want you to ask the tough questions. We're relying on you to stay staunch, and even if he calls you by name when he shows he's a little irritated, you go at him.
I will. You guys better wish me luck, though.
All right, well, we appreciate you. Travel safe. We look forward to catching up on ESPN.com and following everything you got before, during, and after the game. That's Sarah Barshop. We appreciate her. Always follow her on Twitter, at Sarah Barshop, and, of course, through ESPN and her beat writing of your Houston Texans. We got one segment to go on the show. Don't go anywhere. We'll put a bow on it, turn it over to the Blitz next. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Brother Bear is officially... Brother Bear is officially eliminated from contention as a suspect on a daily basis until further notice. Dude. He is absolutely on probation, and he should be banned.
He sent you, sent us, but I have him muted, so I didn't see it.
That's nice that you had to admit that.
I told him I was muting him. I was like, bro, you asked too many questions. I'm going to put you on mute. I can't deal with your questions every day.
Yeah, but thanks for listening and following us every day.
I mean, so I didn't block him.
You're so ruthless sometimes. Okay, go ahead.
What? So he sends you a video.
Us. He sent all of us a video.
Well, you're the only one that watched it.
No, Nick watched
times.
It. Oh, no, I believe you watched it.
Well, you tricked me into watching it.
Damn right I did.
I think that's a crime. I think I'm the victim here. There's some sort of crime, but it's a picture of a fish.
It's not a picture.
Or a video of a fish and a man, and the fish is servicing the man. Was that a good, accurate description?
Well done, sir.
And, yeah, we're trying to keep it clean, which is too late now, but... You were really into that video.
Not at all. I was disgusted by it. I even sent
him. And I told him, he goes, look at this. And I was like, bro, I don't want to see that. So I look away. And he goes, well, wait till you see how it starts. I was like, bro, I don't want to see that. And Joel goes, well, and then there's this video of Hefe. And I was like, what? And I looked, and it was the same video when it started.
Got him.
And he tricked me into seeing this fish fillet this dude.
Who sent
Pretty
that
clever.
To people?
Yeah.
Jeez.
And you have something you want to give the peeps?
Well, it's not that video, I can tell you that. We've been telling you about Battleground 2K. It's a triple header college basketball tournament, and ESPN 97.5 wants to send you and a guest to the tournament. So Battleground 2K19 is going to be Wednesday, December the 18th at Toyota Center. Caller number 12 right now, 713-780-3776. You get a pair of tickets to see all three games of the triple header. Baylor, UT Martin, Utah State, South Florida, Oregon State, UTSA. For tickets and game information, head to battleground2k.com. Good luck. Nick was just excited Oregon State was going to be in the city.
The Beavers.
Bing.
Ah, the Beavers. Got it.
Yeah, I just tweeted this video, and I guess it must be nice, too, when you have the means and the money to do so. But Josh Donaldson's a free agent, but he's obviously going to get paid. He had a one-year deal in the, I think, $20 million range with the Braves last year. He made a deal with his mom. If she quit smoking, he'd get her a Maserati. She quit. He delivered. He drives it up the driveway. And you know how some people, especially if you know their kids are successful, at a certain point you're kind of immune to the money thing. She loses her mind for the entire video on getting a Maserati, and it's pretty badass.
I bet.
Yeah, it's
Wouldn't
pretty
you?
Cool. Hell yeah. And you, we looked it up in the break. I said, is that a six-figure car? I just figured Maserati would be. But you said the base ones. And base this is more 69. Than a base one, but between 70 and a... 100
you
probably.
Can get, yeah, you can get, I mean, out the door, you're probably going to pay 75, but I thought it was in the 60s, but I thought low 60s, but 69.4 was the base Maserati. So, I mean, if you wanted a Maserati.
Still, it's a hell of a gift.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
Now, do you keep that or you trade it in and get what you want, get something else you want?
I keep it.
I think so, too.
Yeah, because it's paid for.
Yeah, but I'm
saying. Pay cash, you're done. Yeah, if you trade it in, you got a payment, right?
No, you trade it in. Or you mean you sell it, you take the money, or take it back, get
buy
the money,
an Accord.
And get what you want, and then get yeah. other stuff.
Okay. I like the way you think.
Yeah, but I don't think Josh Donaldson would. I think he'd be pretty upset. Like, Mom, this is what I bought you. This is what you're getting. That would be, it's just in a different world to have gifts like that. I mean, you know, I could make my mom a promise I'd take the trash out for a year if she quit smoking, but I'm not going to get her a Maserati.
I'm with you.
Jeez. Okay. So we've already talked about the fact lots going on this weekend. I did see this, some awkward stuff out there. But the one thing that I don't know if you guys saw or not, but there was a reporter doing a live shot from a run. And it's been all over the internet now in the fact that she was doing a live shot on like a bridge. And you know, there's a mass of people running at the start of any kind of a fun run or anything like that. So it was in Savannah, Georgia. And she's live on the air, and she's talking about the run and the fact that it's just getting started. And a guy who happens to be a married father of two and a youth group leader at his church and a Boy Scout leader, as he goes behind her
never
as she's doing the report, he smacks her rear end.
He goosed her?
And she said, not only did he smack it, but he grabbed it after that.
I've always said I don't trust Boy Scout leaders. That's a rule I live by.
So she tweeted and at the time,
youth pastors,
along with the video.
I'm just kidding.
And said, obviously, how appalled she was and how inappropriate it was. And at that point, they didn't know who the guy was. He literally turned himself in by going to the station, trying to talk to her personally, saying he apologized online and through an email, and he would go to the station and apologize if he would be so allowed. And he said, I got caught up in the moment. I was getting ready to bring my hands up and wave to the camera to the audience, and there was a misjudge in character and decision-making. So instead of waving to the camera, he smacked and grabbed the reporter's backside.
I believe him, though. Do you believe him?
You do, Barry? Because you know what his next quote was?
Well, damn it. Spoke too soon. What?
I touched her back. I don't know exactly where I touched her.
Oh,
you're full of crap.
You squeezed her back.
Yeah.
Because that's what perverted Boy Scout leaders do. They go around squeezing young ladies' backs. Like, wow, check out the back on her. I bet she could lift a lot. Nope. That doesn't happen. No one squeezes backs.
She's contemplating filing charges.
She should.
At the time, she tweeted out to the man who smacked my butt on live TV this morning, you violated, objectified, and embarrassed me. No woman should ever have to put up with this at work or anywhere. Do better.
I should have tweeted that after Nick did that to me at the golf place. That's violated me, Nick.
Yeah, I did that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you did. Came
the
up.
The germaphobe came over.
You came up and hunched me on the back, basically.
I did not.
Yeah. You kind of just hunched me right there in front of everybody.
I did the ass out hug where you just
took my manhood right there in front of everybody. Just started hunching me like a wild dog.
Lauren Pope can attest to this.
I'm retweeting the video and the article of the reporter.
Is it bad?
I don't want to say it's bad. Anything that the guy does is bad.
If they would have done this to Lisa, would you have been upset?
Lisa's actually had stuff like this happen when she was a reporter in L.A.
Oh, in L.A.
Yeah.
But I'm asking now, would you go find the dude and try to beat his ass?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah,
I totally would.
Absolutely. And when you hear the way she's talking, he said, she's absolutely right. Because he's obviously now, he's more worried about, forget reputation at this point, he's worried about getting sued.
Uh-huh.
So he's like, you know what? And her statement was accurate, and the two words that have to be taken seriously the most are do better. That's what I plan to do. And basically, he said her intention wasn't to hurt her. Her follow-up was, I'm not going to really debate that because he did hurt me. He helped himself to a part of my body. It's not okay to help yourself to a woman's body just because you feel like it. It's not playful. He hurt me both physically and emotionally. Oh, you're getting sued, sir.
Yeah, and the way she says that,
yep.
The phrasing of that, helped himself to a part of my body, man, that makes it sound awful. I mean, it's awful, but I've never heard it phrased like that before.
The man's lawyer does not believe that there will be criminal charges. However, the reporter has said, I think what is most important here is he took my power, and I'm trying to take that back.
Good for her.
I want to take my time with this.
Good for her. That's a smart thing to do.
Yeah, that's and you can just see in her. She obviously. And it's
well, I mean, you should be furious.
Yeah,
she should be. You would be.
Yeah, Lisa.
I was when Nick hunched me. I guess I get it.
The of all the things that Lisa's been through, the one that the clean. I mean, there was a lot of guys that were just very inappropriate. There was one she was doing a live shot in the morning in L.A. and the news van door was open and the cameraman was next to the van shooting, and the people were walking behind Lisa, and while she was doing the live shot, a dude walked up and kissed her on the cheek.
What?
Yeah. And like, if I'm the camera guy too,
player.
I'm like, no, we don't just go, oops, that shouldn't have happened, and chuckle it off. Like, even if that's, you know, that's just the reporter I'm working with, I'm like, no, hang on, time out here. But yeah, when you're doing, and you've seen it, that's why Lisa and I don't laugh, but we kind of chuckle and go, well, you better be careful. With all the different, when the Astros are in the playoffs, all the different reporters that think it's fun to go to a sports bar after a tough win or a tough loss and start interviewing patrons at the bar, that's what you got to be careful of.
Because
when people get a couple of drinks in them, their judgment is obviously a lot more lax, and these things happen.
Yeah, it's a weird thing that people just think it's okay. Even drunk, you still know
right
You have to. I mean, first of all, if you get that out of control, just go home. But damn, that's...
Or start going to bed at 8:30.
No. See?
Was that a shot at me?
No, I just made a general reference to people that are drinking. I don't know.
I believe it was a shot at you, Nicholas.
It's just a phase. It's just a phase.
It's just a phase. You're going to grow out of this and go back to going
you're
to bed.
You're going to start staying up all night and going, even if you don't go to raves, you'll still be up for a while.
Do you feel better, though, getting the sleep?
Yeah, I definitely have more rest, for sure.
I mean, you seem a lot nicer. I'll tell you that.
Up at 7 in the morning.
What?
He came at you all day today, and you think he seems nicer?
Yeah, because I know the difference. I'm not a sensitive issue.
Okay.
Wait, did that make you sensitive just now?
No. Baylor football does.
Baylor football?
Yeah.
Well, that's, I don't get it.
It makes me sensitive if they're not, if they should be in the college playoff.
Oh, now I get it.
Thank you.
You could have done better. Candy from a baby, Nicholas.
Do you have a read here?
I do have a read.
Well,
Joseph,
do it!
I'm glad you brought it up. I want to tell the people about Pajamagram and the Hoodie Footy guys. Let's heat things up for Christmas. Let's do it. I want you in on this. I'm in on it. You get in on it. Go with a win-win this year. Get your significant other something that's going to make her feel hot and heat up your holidays at the same time. Of course, I'm talking about the super warm, world-famous Hoodie Footy from our friends over at Pajamagram. It's hard to be hot when she's not. Got to warm her up first. I'm telling you right now, the Hoodie Footy is the ultimate solution. It combines the warmth of a hoodie with the coziness of footy pajamas. I ordered mine for Nora. I got her the Varsity Hoodie Footy. I cannot wait for it to get here. She's going to absolutely love it. And so will your wife or girlfriend or significant other. And here's the cool parts. Not only are you getting something for her that she's going to love, but they're going to wrap it for you. Because let's face it, if you're like me, you are terrible at wrapping gifts. So Pajamagram is going to include free gift wrapping and... It's backed by 100% lifetime guarantee, and they're going to deliver it to you before Christmas, guaranteed. Guys, you're risking nothing, and if you want more, Pajamagram is ready to give you more. They are celebrating 10 years of the Hoodie Footy goodness. Right now, for a limited time, you save $10. All you got to do is put in SAVE10 as your promo code when you check out and get $10 off an adult-size Hoodie Footy. Remember, it's promo code SAVE10. Go right now and get started. Pajamagram.com. Put in that SAVE10, and when you're checking out, make sure you tell them Barry sent you. All right. That's it for us. Blitz is up next, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.